This is Member Care Media, a media ministry of TWR. Up next, a conversation we believe will be helpful to you. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
Hello again. I'm back with a new series, since it's the beginning of a month again, and that's typically how I do them. And this series is a five-part series that I'm calling Calming Down in Crisis. And this relates to the whole issue of how do we respond in the middle of crises, both in terms of ourselves and how do we take care of others. I'm going to be looking at the literature in the whole arena of psychological first aid, which is sort of a first response kind of member care kind of activity that I recently was trained in the United States by some government entities. Today, I'm going to look at self-assessment. Of course, I always start off with self-assessment, don't I? I say, look to yourself, and I want to ask the question, who and what are you, or how do you behave in a crisis? The rest, we're going to be looking at various components of a psychological first aid process, kind of defining them, trying to apply them in a cross-cultural setting, and give you some very practical skills that you can use. You don't need to be an expert. You can just be a compassionate person, and perhaps you can apply them in other arenas. So my question to start off today is, how have you responded to crises in your past? Now, if you're feeling just a little bit like I am, you're going to say, it depends. It completely depends on if you're in the community and you're responding in that way, or if a family member is in crisis and you're probably going to respond to another way. So it's completely situationally dependent. And of course, we know that. But what I'm looking at here is how what sort of characteristics are accurate in terms of describing you and what you do and how you behave and how you feel. So let's see if we can identify some things. I've listed three characteristic categories that I want to talk about: personality, activity, and proclivity. Let's look at personality first. First of all, I'm looking at the characteristics that I possess inside, my personality characteristics, and how those come to play in the midst of crisis or in responding to crisis. Now, let's clarify, how do we do things? Well, I think if I'm sort of a person who's a little bit suspicious, maybe a little bit threat sensitive, I see the negative outcomes perhaps before I see the positives. In crisis, I might be a lot more that way. I might be even a little bit more anxious about things because I can see when I forecast ahead, I typically forecast on the worst case scenario. Oh my goodness, you know, this is going to happen, and oh, I can see this and this and this. Whereas somebody else might be, hey, well, let's see what's going to happen. We don't know for sure, and there could be some positive things that come out of this, or some things could go our way. Does that make a difference in how the crisis is managed? Certainly it does. It makes a very big difference. Now, maybe you're not either one or the other, but you're some combination. Once again, that's going to depend on how or who is in the crisis. If you're in the middle of it and you've lost everything, you're probably going to be anxious anyway, even if you're a more optimistic person. If it's a family member and you don't have all the information about them, you're probably going to be anxious until you get more information. So it's not like this is a cut and dried kind of thing. I'm looking at more in terms of, can we look at how we have behaved and how that might predict some forms of behavior within crisis. And if that's the case, then we have a little bit of potential to do some planning. So that's why. Secondly, activity. How active are you? Well, that's sort of a broad question again, but I mean, some of us really sort of take a wait and see, you know, well, let's see if the authorities show up and then we'll know what to do, because we wouldn't want to do anything that might inadvertently make things worse or whatever. On the other hand, some of us might be very high activity. Let's do some things to create some safe places. Let's do some things to help people. And so you're off doing all kinds of things. Once again, there is neither any good or bad results about this. I mean, it's not like, well, that's a good behavior and that's a bad, because it completely is circumstantial. It depends on low activity might be the exact thing to do if there is the potential for extreme danger right where you are. It's best sometimes to sit. For example, in one of my trainings earlier, we had to enter a dark building and start walking around. Well, until you do some very careful looking, you could be in a lot of trouble. In this case, the instructors had set up a number of booby traps, if you will. And one of those included putting some wire on the floor. And the first group just walked in, stepped on the wire, and the participants said, okay, you're dead. That was a live wire, and you just had 50,000 volts go through your body. All of a sudden, we thought, better to look around carefully first, isn't it? So, you know, sometimes low activity, other times very important for high activity. You're in a building, there's an earthquake, and you need to get out first of all. Or where you're stopping is not a safe place because things could fall down. So it completely depends. But how do you normally do this? This would be where you would say, well, my normal inclination is to do this. Is that necessarily a good behavior to have? So you might want to do some other research. The third issue is proclivity. Well, that's kind of, it's what I probably would do. And this is where the whole forecasting thing is very important. If your natural tendency is to do this, well, is that necessarily going to be a good thing? Now you're going to stop and say, Brent, wait a minute. How do I know? I mean, I don't know. I mean, you're sitting here talking about this sort of topic I haven't thought about. Now I'm thinking about it and I'm getting kind of anxious. And I don't know what I'd do. Well, this is where if you think about what you might do, like say, well, I think I would be paralyzed with fear. Okay, that's your proclivity. So if that's your proclivity, then is that necessarily going to be a good thing? On the other hand, you might say, well, I think I would be running around, pacing, looking all over the place, being very anxious inside and saying, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. If that's your proclivity, then that's what we need to plan on what to do. So if you think you're going to be having a lot of trouble with anxiety, then that becomes the issue that we may have to look at. So what do you do with that? Well, then you start saying, what do I usually do when I'm over anxious? Well, I haven't been over anxious in a long time, but what if I was completely paralyzed? Well, that's back here, and I can use the things that I did. Are there calming passages of scripture? Is there music? It might be as important for you to say, you know, I have an MP3 capability on my phone. Most of us do nowadays if we have cell phones. Maybe that's not a good technology issue, but I'm going to put some very calming music selections in a special place on my phone or in my tape recorder so that I can sit and actually listen to them to help calm me down and focus. Okay, now you're going to say, Brent, wait a minute. How do we take time out to listen? Excuse me, I've got a couple hours that I've got to go listen to relaxing music. I'm not talking about a couple hours. I'm talking about 30 seconds worth. You know, it's the issue of, is there something that I need? Oh, my child has a very special stuffed animal. And if we lost that, we would be in big trouble. Well, maybe you need to have that stuffed animal or a couple of them. You know, I mean, sometimes when they bond to one particular one, we can't find it, you know, it's a very difficult time. Sometimes a generic stuffed animal. I mean, I have in my go bag some stuffed animals to give to kids to help them be comfortable and self-soothe them. So think about those kinds of issues. Now, try to get a go bag for your head before a crisis. That's what this whole thing is about. A go bag is what we in the business think have. It's somewhere we can get to right away, and it's particularly me. If I get called to go out and do some psychological first aid, I may not know when I get back. So my go bag has a day or two change of clothing and other things that I'll talk about in other programs probably. But the go bag in your head is what I carry around, is what do I know about myself, what can I do about myself, and how can I make a difference in that in terms of carrying around some memories and some practical steps to do. Well, there you have it. This is my first one, Calming Down in Crisis. It's a self-assessment, first of all, looking at what characteristics do we bring to the situation, how do we relate with people, and is there anything that we need to do to start preparing ourselves if we really want to be the kind of people that are able to respond to crisis or respond to the middle of a crisis in positive ways. I hope this helped, and I hope you're looking forward to my other parts of my series. Talk to you next time.
This feature is a presentation of Member Care Media. Thank you for taking the time to listen. We invite you to check out our website further. We offer audio features and resources to help you in your work and daily life. In addition, we have links to other helpful websites that will be an encouragement to you and your family. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.